Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The United States, it's getting ready, reportedly, to offer Israel the largest aid package in history. This is pretty encouraging.
These
reports are coming out. I mean, we hear things, but then we sometimes don't see them
come to fruition.
Yeah. But hey, that's why we're informing you. This is what's happening, and you can join in prayer to ensure that this type of stuff happens. But what's going on is there's a push by a majority of senators that have come together. They've written a letter. 80 out of the 100 senators, I mean, you get two senators per state, 80 of them is pretty huge, wrote this letter to the president. It's called a MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, that talks about the importance of saying, hey, listen, we need to increase this funding. Some official that they actually interviewed said that with Israel's ongoing military pressure and what's going on, you know, in the Middle East, that this contract needs to be extended for the next 10 years to 2018. It's about to expire. And they're calling for the president to sign this immediately to make this happen. And Lindsey Graham, who's the chairman, foreign relations chair, says that, listen, this has received bipartisan support. 51 Republicans and 32 Democrats have all come in agreement in saying this has to happen. And, if you weren't aware of this, the United States, we actually give a lot of money and aid package to a lot of countries around the world. I mean, I believe Egypt, we give close to $1 billion. But for Israel, we've been giving them, I believe, $3 billion. And this increase would make it almost double to $5 billion, Steve. Yeah. So this is a pretty big deal. The United States has helped Israel before in times past with the Iron Dome, which has proven to be something that really a godsend during the Operation Protective Edge when Hamas was firing over 10,000 rockets from the Gaza Strip.
Into Israel, correct.
And this Iron Dome was able to just shoot these rockets down every time they were launched. It was pretty amazing.
Well, it's powerful, too, because it's because of that funding that not only are you saving, you're protecting and defending, and you're allowing Israeli lives and all lives in Israel to be living. And it's beautiful funding.
It is. And so we want to pray that this occurs. I believe that they're going to need every single dollar they can get their hand on. And so just because it was proposed by senators doesn't mean that ultimately, even though reports are that the White House is hinting that they will do this, we don't know what lies around the corner. I mean, this we just talked not too long ago that the United States was buying over 32 tons of nuclear material from Iran. Why, I have no idea, but they were doing that. And now Iran, they just got released, hundreds of millions of dollars, but also they have the ability now to sell their oil in the market. And so, a lot of these funds, a lot of people are concerned that these funds are going to be used to, raise up more terrorists and to fund what Hamas is doing right at the bottom portion of Israel. And so this is some really serious times, not to mention that President Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin have come into agreement. The United Nations wants to put the Golan Heights of all places on the chopping block in order to broker this deal for peace with Syria. In fact, reports are that President Bashar Assad said that part of any peace agreement, Steve, part of any peace agreement would have to include returning the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights was captured from Syria when they invaded Israel during the Six-Day War. And if you look at a map of Israel, the Golan Heights is typically... It is located in the northeast tip part of Israel, and it's kind of a higher region. So if that land was given over, it would be literally impossible for Israel to defend herself. Essentially meaning that Syria, if they had that piece of property back, could actually launch rocket attacks from their own country without even having to physically invade the country of Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that the Golan Heights will forever remain in the hands of Israel. And these are really some you know, interesting days that we're living in, to say the least, when, you know, a leader of other nations can have the audacity to think that they could broker a deal with giving up, you know, a piece of another, you know, country's property. It's like, yeah, someone saying,
their borders.
You know, we're going to give Texas, like Russia saying, we're going to give Texas away. We're just going to give it back to Mexico because we just want peace, you know, in that part of the country. We'd be like, are you kidding me? You know, get out of here with that. Well, this is what happens all the time to Israel. The United States, unfortunately, here under this president administration and other countries repeatedly feel that they're able to somehow have some sort of authority to be able to dictate what happens to the nation of Israel. And what you're going to find is that those who touch the apple of God's eyes suffer serious repercussions. You can't go around poking the eye of God thinking that things are not, or things are going to go well with you. And ultimately, God always has the final word. But when you think of Israel, it's a country smaller than the state of New Jersey, smaller than the state, the country of Ecuador, yet they still continue to stand, Steve.
Yeah, when you look at all of their neighbors, and we've talked about it many times before if you've been with us, is that multiple times you've heard people chanting the annihilation of Israel, yet Israel still stands, which is a testimony of the fact of this is God holding it together. And the whole reason why we're telling you about this projected package is just that pray for the leadership of America, pray for the President Obama. And it's just like, not only pray for him, pray for his advisors, pray for his cabinet around him. And it's just like that he would get godly counsel and see the importance of why we must stand with Israel, because reportedly the current package of the $3 billion you're talking about, that's set to expire in 2018. And that's why it's so important, is that the next package that comes, it's just like we have to stand with Israel, not only prayerfully, but also financially.
Yeah, and it needs to be robust. And so please continue to pray, continue to get involved, you know, with your state senator and make sure that we do our part.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we can fall asleep and say, well, someone else is going to handle it. But we have to keep these issues on the forefront. And so we want safety to Israel, and we're encouraged to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I mean, this is what we're encouraged to do in scriptures. And Israel should be such great encouragement for you and really for all of us, because every time we look at the nation of Israel, we're reminded that God keeps his promises. God told Jacob, told Abraham, listen, your descendants are going to be many. And that promise continued, you know, all the way to Jacob, and Jacob became Israel, and it became the fulfillment of what God spoke of his covenant, and his word is his bond. Listen, God is faithful. God is faithful. And every time I just look at Israel, I think, God, you're just so good. You promised it, you said it, and it still exists, no matter that the nations of the world and the kings of the world would want to annihilate and scrape Israel off the face of the earth. Think about what nation has ever had that said about them? They're not saying that about even China. They're not saying that about, you know, Uruguay. They're not saying that about Brazil. They're not saying that about, you know, the Philippines. They're saying that about Israel. That alone should cause us to say, why did the nations rage against Israel when a country like Israel has been a blessing to the nations, whether it be, you know, technology, whether it be medicine, agriculture, so many different ways they bless the nations of the world. So keep your eyes on Israel. Let's go straight to Jerusalem to ask the source as we find out about Rabbi Dov Lipman. And he's a former Knesset member who is really wanting to bring awareness to you know, basically racism against Jews and the important, you know, role that Jews are playing, saying, hey, listen, we want to coexist with everybody, but you got to understand that there are these, you know, there's racism against us. So he's bringing awareness, and he wrote a new book. I want you to watch as they just kind of unfold what is happening now with their organization. Watch this.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein, and we're here in a frosty, cool day in our indoor studio in Jerusalem. My guest today is former member of Knesset, Rabbi Dov Lipman, who is currently now the Director of Public Diplomacy at the World Zionist Organization. Thank you for being on the show.
Great to be here, Josh.
Tell us a little bit about what is the WZO.
Absolutely. The World Zionist Organization was actually founded by Theodor Herzl almost 120 years ago with the vision of creating the State of Israel. And now we try to do certain things to enhance the work of the Israeli government. My role is public diplomacy, Israel advocacy, to try to help make the case for Israel around the world, both in parliaments, but also to engage Israeli activists around the world and get them to make the case for Israel.
Now, it's no secret that we have a problem with our public diplomacy effort. We've been criticized quite a bit for not getting the Israeli message out there. How do you plan to fix this problem?
So it's a big challenge. There is a significant amount of anti-Israel sentiment out there, and a lot of it is actually based on some level on anti-Semitism. What we have to do is get the facts out there. Get the facts out there that we in Israel are interested in peace. We are interested in coexistence. These are things that we not only hope for, but we pray for a few times a day. And we need to have a partner who's willing to do so, who's not inciting hate, who's not inciting the destruction of Israel. And when the facts are presented and people see how much the Palestinian leadership is not doing their job, they can help make the case for Israel. And our goal is to get the international community to put pressure on the Palestinians to do what's right, and that is to make the effort to work together with Israel so that we can coexist with one another and we can reach a stage ultimately where we do have peace.
We're seeing this new form of anti-Semitism, which is called anti-Zionism. And at the beginning, a lot of people would say, no, we don't hate Jews, we just hate Israel. But now more and more at these rallies, it's coming out, they actually do hate the Jews too. Why is it such a big movement, this anti-Zionism, and how does it relate to anti-Semitism?
So anti-Semitism in general is very difficult to understand. There were roots in terms of blaming the Jews for this problem or that problem, but there's something at the core in certain communities around the world where you just see this base hatred towards the Jewish people. It's not something which I'm able to explain, but when you see it crossing over into the anti-Israel sentiment, that is something which we can absolutely battle, because there's right and there's wrong. There's the good side and the bad side. And people have to understand those facts, see that Israel is a booming, flourishing country, open to all religions of the world, a booming economy, contributing so much technologically and medically to the entire world. As people start to see what we stand for, a booming democracy, people will come to the side of Israel in its conflict. But as far as solving anti-Semitism, that's beyond me.
We're seeing this new anti-Semitism, this anti-Zionism, becoming more mainstream. In fact, the European Union, it seems like a bad joke even, is labeling Jewish products once again. Even the ambassador from America is buying into this, idea that there's two sets of laws for Arabs and Jews in Israel, even though we have the same rights and values for all of our citizens. How mainstream is this going to become?
Unfortunately, I see it becoming more and more mainstream unless we do something to get the word out there. And people just have to come to Israel and experience it and see what Israeli Arabs have here, which they don't have in any other country in the Middle East, opportunities and freedom and democracy. As a member of Knesset, I saw Arab members of Knesset saying things that you can't even imagine against our state, but they were democratically elected. We give them the chance to have their free speech, and it's just up on us. But we can't do it alone. People all around the world who love Israel, to help get that message out there. I do believe, Josh, that people, once they're presented with the facts, without all the rhetoric, without all the emotions involved, just the facts, people can be won over to the correct side of this argument.
Well, recently you just launched a new book, An American MK, which stands for Members of Knesset. Tell us about the book.
So, I was sworn in a few years ago as a member of Knesset, and turned out I was the first American-born member of Knesset in 30 years, and really represented the English-speaking population in Israel. And in my term during the 19th Knesset, experienced the most incredible things. Really getting to see the inner workings of Israel, seeing the miracle that's the state of Israel, both on a government side and just all the incredible things that are happening in this country. And I felt like I had to share that message with people around the world who can read English and want to get an insight into what is Israel's democracy exactly like. So I talk there about how we pass laws, about the votes, about incredible meetings, people that I met, but also about the incredible miracle that's the state of Israel. Seeing it from the inside for me, I mentioned in the book that every day on the way to the Knesset, I looked up and just thanked God for the opportunity that I had to be part of this. And I really felt it was my duty to share that with readers around the world.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the book is the fact that you're a rabbi and a politician, and in Israel there is no separation of church and state. The reason we're here is because of the Bible. How was it for you as a member of parliament, but also a rabbi to bridge that gap?
Well, it's critical. We are a Jewish state. We're not separating religion and state. We are a Jewish state, but you have to try to find that balance between my religious beliefs coming from my rabbinic background as well, but also giving people freedom. So in the book, I do talk about that challenge of balancing Jewish state on the one hand with democracy on the other side. And it's something which is an incredible process to be part of. It's an amazing challenge. You have to be living in a time where you see prophecies coming true. This is part of it also, just trying to establish what is a Jewish state in 2016. For me, it was a blessing to be part of that process, and using my rabbinic hat was an asset because we're talking about a Jewish state where religion does play a role.
But there are literally tens of millions of people watching the show. What message do you have for our viewing audience?
I call on all of you, if you love Israel and support Israel, we need your help. Get involved, get engaged, go through websites which provide us with information about why Israel is on the right and why the other side is just wrong. To build up Zionism, build up more and more supporters for Israel as we want support all around the world. If you want to go into the website for Trafford Publishing and order my new book, that'll also give you greater insight and maybe inspiration to get involved, roll up your sleeves, make the case for Israel. We're living in the most magnificent times, Josh, and everyone should just get involved and be part of those prophecies that are coming true.
Thank you, Dov, for being on the show, and thank you for tuning in to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein. Now back to the studio.
World Zionist Organization. Man, this is so encouraging.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.